tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hello, AfterBuzzers. We're here during another AfterBuzz TV after show for MTV's Teen Wolf Season 5, Episode 3, Dreamcatchers. I'm your host, Kristen Elizabeth Snyder. Joining me, AfterBuzz TV host Courtney Tesno.
Hey, everyone. Keep in touch with me at Tesnos on Twitter and Instagram.
And from MTV's Are You the One, Brittany Baldy.
Hey, guys, what's up? You can check me out at Brittany Baldy on all social media and also BrittanyBaldy.com.
Also from Are You the One on MTV, Ryan Malotti.
Hi, everybody. If you want to see more of Brittany, then you can check out my social media at Ryan Malotti. I always Snapchat her and stuff. Also, be sure to check us out during the live shows at youtube.com/AfterBuzzTV. Join in the live chat and talk with us.
Yeah. And joining us from MTV's Teen Wolf, he plays Ken Yukimura. Please welcome Tom Choi.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, guys.
Yes.
Thank you.
So excited to have you.
Pleasure
Tom,
to be here.
Thank you for joining us in studio today.
Thank you for having me.
Tell us what it's like to be on the set of Teen Wolf, a supernatural show.
It's great. I mean, the whole cast and crew is wonderful. They treat you like family there ever since, you know, from that first episode I was on.
Now tell us the truth.
I'm just kidding. Well, actually, John in Wardrobe, he's a little bit of a... No, I'm sorry. But everybody's great, yeah.
That's awesome. Great.
Well, if you guys at home have a question for Tom, you can give us a call at 424-256-1729, or you can send your question to Ryan in the chat.
Yes, and use our hashtag, #ABTVTeenWolf. We want to keep the conversation going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all week long, not just here. If you can't make it for the live show, tweet us all week long and we'll get back to you.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So let's go ahead and get into the episode. Now, I was worried for Mr. Yukimura because we had Tracy running all over town hurting the people that have actually helped her. And as a history teacher, I'm sure you've had to give her a few history lessons and tutoring. Were you scared at all for your life with Tracy running around?
You know, it's funny because like on Twitter and social media, it's always funny because they always say, no, don't kill Mr. Yukimura. It's like there'll be no danger, but they'll still say that. So there's always like I'm really grateful that the fans are really liking Mr. Yukimura and they don't want to see him get hurt or anything.
So
of course this episode for sure they were scared, like she's in the class, his class. So yeah,
I was really scared for you, especially after she broke that desk.
Man,
that was intense.
I know.
I don't know how you didn't hear that.
And social media again, they're always on top of it. That's like one of the first things you say, like, how did she not hear Tracy, breaking the desk and all that? So, yeah.
Oh, I would have liked to see you hand out a little bit of detention there. Ashley Nicole wants to know if Mr. Yukimura had to take on the Dread Doctors. What is the absolute accessory that you would need in fighting them?
Well, for sure, if you saw the episode, you saw Kira, my daughter, played by Arden Cho. Do an amazing job, and she turned into the Kitsune Fire.
Yeah. She kicked some ass, is what she did.
Yeah, she did.
She did, yes.
Man.
I taught her how to chop the tail out of a Kanema. No. But you saw the sword she had, and it was a belt sword.
Belt is badass, man.
Like, that's probably one of the coolest weapons I've ever seen.
Do you
seen,
have a period. Pair of, like, suspenders that match?
Yes, actually. The really? Tie.
No, the tie.
Ken Yukimura's tie comes off and becomes, like, nunchucks.
Are you playing with
that's
us?
That's in next episode.
No, I would like to see, like, a family thing with that. That'd be nice to see.
Yeah, well, you gotta tune in. I mean, the writers have said there's some things in the works, so,
nice.
We'll see what happens.
I mean...
So your wife is also a kitsune, and your daughter's a kitsune. So did you know that when you
married? I'm a housewife.
Yeah.
I'm the normal housewife. Basically, I do the cooking.
Do you feel like at some point you're going to have a supernatural power?
Well, this is Teen Wolf, so you just never know.
Mm-hmm. But you've got your nunchucks, so.
So I got my Thai nunchucks, so that's pretty much all I need to, you know.
I want to talk about the fact that Stilinski went on a date with Lydia's mom instead of Melissa.
Yeah, everybody wants them two to get together.
Yeah, I mean, that was sort of a shock.
And they kind of built it up that way. You know, Styles wanted to know who it was going to be, and then they showed that it was, you know, Lydia's mom.
Yeah, and the way Stilinski said to Evan Scott, he was like, it's none of your business either, so I'm, like, waiting for the reveal that it's going to be Melissa, and then it's Lydia's mom, which I get it. A lot of the moms on the show, all good-looking.
They're all cute.
But they just set it up for us to want Melissa in that position.
Part of me kind of wonders if it's kind of like the dad getting back in the picture,
so that might be something. Yeah, yeah, I think you're right about that.
So,
now that Scott's dad's hanging out around,
he's kind of a nice guy now.
Yeah, we kind of like him.
I mean, it was only one date. I'm sure Melissa and
what a date.
It really wasn't a date.
You think they're going to go out again after that?
I mean, they have to. They didn't have a first date.
It can't really go much worse, right?
It can't.
Well, when her mom turns into a wolf in the next episode. No, I'm just kidding. Joking. See, all your listeners.
He's joking.
What's happening in the chat, Ryan?
Oh,
we have a call, actually.
Oh, really? Wow.
Okay.
All right.
Caller, what's your name? Where are you from?
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello, what's your name? Where are you from?
Johan. I'm sorry, guys.
Hi, Johan.
What's going on, guys?
Thanks for calling in, Johan. Do you have a question for Tom?
No, I kind of had a comment about, episode one, because I didn't really watch episode 3.
Okay. you're a little bit behind, but what was your comment on episode 1?
No, I just wanted to say that, that opening scene was amazing. It was incredible.
I did not
expect that at all.
When Lydia was a street fighter?
Yeah. She's got some moves. She's got some moves, man.
I know.
She's got moves. Yeah. If she wants to be an MMA fighter, I'll be fine with that.
Well, you have a lot to catch up on, Johan.
A lot to look forward to, yes.
We have Tom Choi, who plays Kira's dad, in studio with us, and he has a nunchuck tie in future episodes, so you have that to look forward to.
Hopefully it won't rain around my house, so I'll be able to catch up. So.
Okay, thanks, Johan, for calling in, and we will tweet you later.
No problem.
Yes. Thank you so
much.
Bye.
Johan. So if you're caught up on the episodes, you guys call in 424-256-1729. Ryan, let's check in the chat. What's going on in the chat?
Well, let us take a look here. I had a little microphone thing that was fixed. Now you guys can hear me. Hello. They're basically talking about what would happen if Stilinski were to go out with Melissa. And I feel like Stilinski is now the focus of conversation with romance and the whole dating world in Teen Wolf, which you'd think it'd be more based on the teens. The teens are the ones taking care of business, and the parents are out there
I love that the parents are involved in this show. Because the thing is, I feel like the demographic who watches MTV, maybe they're in that stage where parents aren't cool. And it's great to see that in this show, the kids get along with their parents. Their parents are there to help them out when they run into trouble. Mm-hmm. And
sends a good message.
They provide the mythology behind what's happening to their bodies sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, they're giving some good history lessons. I like it.
And I think overall, I think the cool part is that it kind of reels it back into the world that they live in. I mean, sometimes they're doing such crazy things that you forget they're in high school.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so, like, you need the teacher and the parents to kind of remind people, like, you know, holy crap, this is still high school. You know?
Yeah. Kind of keep that balance.
Yeah.
If you could teach any subject, not history, what would you teach on the show?
Oh man, that's a good question. I do like history though, because okay. You know, there's a lot of clues that he gives, especially like in a couple seasons ago, last season. Well, apparently I'm doing driver's ed now.
Yeah, I saw that with Malia, and I don't know that I'd want to be in the car with Malia, considering she's still adjusting to being a human.
Yeah.
She's taking things so literally. Like, it's my turn, so I'm turning.
Oh, yeah, we were cracking up during that scene last night. We were watching
it. Great. It's like teaching you how to, like, turn on the TV with a remote. Like, what do you mean?
I was a little, in that one scene when she was driving, I was a little scared when she had that vision. Like, are we going to see that in future episodes, what actually happened?
Well, the thing is, she actually sort of killed her family when she was turning into a were-coyote.
Yeah.
This is a flashback.
So this is a flashback, and this is why, you know, she's got a lot of pressures in the car. I mean, she's going to need a few more lessons from you.
Yeah, exactly.
We have another
caller.
Or
maybe a chauffeur. A chauffeur would be nice.
A chauffeur. We just need you in the car at all times.
In the next episode, Mystery Kimura becomes the Uber driver.
Yeah, she's an Uber. That would be perfect.
She's covering all the bases.
Okay, let's take the call. Caller, what's your name? Where are you from? Oh, looks like we lost some. Hey, guys.
They just hung up.
Call back.
Oh, yeah, call back.
All right. So
we got a question.
Question from the chat. Go ahead.
From Yume, what is Tom's favorite scene to film or watch so far, I guess you'd say, in the show?
The sushi one was pretty cool.
That was cool.
Very, very intimate, you know, when we filmed it, and it was really about getting to know us, getting to know Scott, you know, their relationship, playing around with, like, you know, kind of analyzing, so that was really cool, and I'm sure for the fans, it was really nice to get, you know, to get to know on a personal level this new character and their parents and everything.
Yeah, that was one of my favorite episodes. Yeah. I have a clear memory of that whole scene.
And as far as personally for me, two of them stands out. The one where I had the little intimate conversation with my daughter in our classroom. We were having a little tea. And we were eating oranges. I don't know.
Oranges? No.
Yeah, it was anyway. And then, of course, when Boyd Stiles came in and made me choke on the fly and everything, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Must agree.
So what about an episode you haven't shot yet?
That's when I fly, and then the coyotes also fly.
And the desert coyote, and then you have to pull out the tie.
The tie.
The nunchuck tie.
Mr. Kimura versus the coyotes.
Katana?
The katana, yeah. Katana. So we had a lot of girl power scenes in this episode. Something I like that Teen Wolf is bringing out. We have Lydia and Kira and Malia all kind of joining forces together and hunting down, you know, what's going on in the story. And also, it seems like all the fights this episode was also between the females fighting Tracy. So let's go ahead and talk about Donovan. This is an interesting character who wanted to be a cop, but he didn't pass the anger test, which makes sense because he's just been threatening everyone this entire show so far. But he's also a new character, so we don't have his backstory or any idea how he's going to play into it. But
he's so angry. You need someone that's going to protect you. Not
failing an anger test would make me pretty angry.
No, not to the level. I mean, he's about to be in prison for some time.
I mean, I was worried when he escaped the van and Tracy was killing everybody else and he was escaped. I was worried for Stilinski that he was going to go after him. But not a chance once the Dread Doctors got in contact with him. Now, I don't know what they did to him, but the whole drilling through the ear.
And the way that his eyes have changed.
Yeah. What do you guys predict he's going to be into? Because clearly he's their next subject.
Yeah, he's the next victim. I don't think he's a werewolf at all.
I think he's going to turn into something like Tracy.
I think he could do that, but then the fact that every time he hears a hissing noise, I'm thinking, is it something snake-like?
Like a snake?
It's that clicking that.
Yeah, so I'm a little worried about that.
Well, it's really intriguing to me because I actually know a little bit about that. So it's really funny to kind of hear you guys, and then I know some of the stuff. So I'm like, maybe.
We want to know.
Like, can you give us getting colder kind of thumbs up?
I mean, you guys are just, you know, getting to specifics about what they do and how they affect the characters, which is really cool. But just in overall, I think without spoiling anything, it sort of becomes as, you know, Jeff and the writers do super well is creating this world of the Dread Doctors. And, you know, in fact, if you actually want to see in general, what maybe possibilities, you can actually look up what the Dread Doctors are. And that might give you some hints.
Hey, chat. Okay. People in the chat room, can you look up the Dread Doctors for us?
They look Ryan. They look like something out of that game Fallout 3. I don't know if you guys played it. It was really cool.
The mask.
The mask. The spray paint.
I just really want to know why.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I really want to know why they. It feels like they appear out of nowhere. So maybe if our chat can look that up for us, I want to know why they do that each time.
Mm-hmm.
But you said we have a caller?
Okay, caller, what's your name? Where are you from?
Johnny from San Diego.
Hey, Johnny.
Hey.
Johnny, do you have
How are you?
Very good.
Do you have a question for Tom, Johnny?
Yeah, I was wondering if he's coming down to Comic-Con.
I am.
Yeah.
Nice. Yes.
Hey, you are? We were just talking about that.
We're all going to be there.
We're all going to be there.
Yeah, for sure. Coming down tomorrow.
Well, okay. We'll check your Twitter. See where we can meet up.
Oh, gosh.
We're going to be following you around Comic-Con. Is that
virtually,
okay,
Tom? Virtually stalking you.
Yes.
Virtually.
He's going to turn off his Twitter while he's at Comic-Con.
Johnny, can't make sure you get a Twitter selfie whenever you are down at Comic-Con. But did you have a question about this episode?
I'll hashtag it.
Did you have a question about the episode, Johnny?
Oh, no. I'm just too excited to hear him to see you some more.
You're just a fan of Tom Choi's. I get it. We're all fans here. Well, good luck finding Tom in San Diego. It'll be where in San Diego is Tom Choi.
Where?
Yes. Where is Tom Choi?
Thanks for calling in, Johnny.
Thanks, Johnny, and thank you so much for calling. We'll see you later.
Bye.
Hear from you later.
Thank you.
Bye.
I have a question on the chat.
Oh, go for it.
Throw it your way. Yeah. First of all, Ariana says, I love Tom's sarcasm.
Now
I didn't hear much of it,
but
either way, I think it's great. Just wanted to throw that to you. And we also have from Briston. Briston asks a question for Tom. How did it feel to have a fly in your mouth?
That was interesting because it was really specific. I can't remember if it was Russell who was directing that episode, but they had to show me how it was going to happen because obviously they didn't have a real fly going through.
Right.
PETA would have been really flies harmed in the show.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was I had to specifically it had to be, you sucked it in, and it was just really specific. So it was, I'm glad it worked out. It looked cool.
Yeah, no, it looked real.
Yeah.
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 I mean, yeah. So there's a...
It was a virtual reality fly.
A virtual
fly? It cost $5 million for that fly to go into my mouth. No, it wasn't a real fly, so...
It was a virtual fly.
So it was digital.
Yeah,
exactly.
Like Mike with the hearts last night. Like
okay.
That.
Okay. Yeah.
Let's go ahead and transition into Tracy's storyline. Now, we predicted that Tracy may not make it out this episode.
Played
but,
by the wonderful Kelsey Chow.
Yes. Yeah. And you know what? I was scared for her, but it seems like these Dread Doctors are picking, these people who already have issues and then taking them as patients and then using them to kill a few people, which are obstacles, and then they terminate them. So there aren't these long-term plans for their patients. Can you comment on that at all, Tom?
Right.
I mean, without giving things away, probably not, but they're definitely experimenting, and yes, you just have to watch, and they'll explain a lot about their mythology.
I wanted to talk about my prediction last week that Tracy's dad had something to do with the surgeons. Clearly, he doesn't anymore.
Well, maybe he was an obstacle because she killed him.
He could have been an obstacle for sure, but he's not working with them. That's what I thought it was.
Right.
But now it's really making me think that this whole, we're in a flashback with Lydia, and it's making me think that the surgeons have something to do with where she is right now. Mm-hmm. I just have a feeling that she's another person that is a victim, but she's the strongest victim. So I really want to see if that
I'm curious as to. Oh, sorry.
No, I was just going to say, I highly recommend watching the first scene of the first episode. Because, Jeff and the writing team don't do things without reason.
Right, right.
And they all, come on, what do you call the tree?
The necklace.
Nematon. Yeah, it came back 4 seasons later to tie in, Noshiko and everything. It's crazy. So, let's just put it that way. There's some
Absolutely right. So there are some breadcrumbs that...
Oh, a lot good.
Of there always is in Teen Wolf. So Ron Simpkins on YouTube says, according to Jeff the Creator, the doctors are going to be the big bads in coming seasons, not season 5. It's going to be two parts, according to Jeff. And Holland says the entire season is a flashback.
I could see that.
I could see that.
I could see why that's confusing too. I really think it is a flashback.
Mm-hmm. And the fact that the doctors are not the big bad for this part of the season, because we've got 10 episodes here, 10 episodes later. Apparently that's what Jeff said.
They sure look like it, though.
I know, but we've also got Theo.
I don't like Theo.
No.
Yeah, Chandler BT asks Tom, what do you think of Theo and what might be in store for his character?
I think people were kind of thrown off by the whole parent scene.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know, I'm not going to, obviously I'm not going to say anything, whether he's good or bad or whatever else, but, you know, you're supposed to be suspicious of him.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
So,
I mean, anyone who breaks their father's hands or pretend to be father's arm so that a signature cannot be suspicious. I mean, obviously we don't like this guy.
Yeah.
If you hurt your parents, probably not a good person.
Yeah. But by the way, the nicest, coolest guy in the world. In real life.
Okay.
Yeah, so nobody would not like him if they knew him in person.
Right.
Oh, good. That's good to know.
Good to know.
But Theo really scared me this episode. Wasn't he at the scene of the crime when Tracy killed everyone?
He was watching over
the whole
thing.
He was everywhere.
He's always everywhere. He's like that fly on the wall that no one else sees. I'm like,
or
where is Styles? Or in
Mr. Gamora's mouth.
Yeah. Right.
He actually came from my mouth.
We have you to blame for his existence.
That's episode 15.
Oh, my gosh.
That's crazy.
I don't know. Like, Theo just strikes me as someone who is... I don't know if he's with the surgeons at all, but the fact that he was always around... he was around Tracy's necklace, and then he was around Tracy when she was killing him. Like, is he the alpha that we were looking for that was over Tracy? Or, I mean, I don't know. The alpha that they were talking about in the scene. I'm so confused about it, to be completely honest, but Theo is bad, and I want to know what he's up to, for real.
So, Ryman... 852 says Theo isn't an alpha like we said last week, which that was my mistake.
He isn't an alpha?
He isn't.
He's not one.
Okay. He said that he has yellow eyes, and Derek was another example of someone who could turn into a wolf. So at the end of the last season, Derek did shapeshift into a wolf. So someone else was saying that perhaps...
Derek Hale.
Someone else was saying that perhaps Theo could be a Hale, and Derek transitioned. So Haley from Melbourne thinks that Theo is a Hale, which could be considering we don't have Derek anymore. Peter's not around right now, so
that's a good prediction.
We have a caller. Let's see what they think.
Of a confusing character.
He could be an Argent.
There's so many things. There have been so many seasons. I'm just confused at this point, man.
All right. Well, we lost our caller, so let's continue with the episode. So I want to talk about Tracy just a little bit more. Mm-hmm. So we see, you know, her kill her father and all these innocent people. To tell you guys the truth, like, she is terminated at the end, but I don't know that...
Is she dead?
Is she coming back?
I think she's dead.
I think she's dead.
I don't know. I mean, the Kenema we saw, like... keep rising from the dead. So perhaps she's not, but I think she is. But the other part of that is, I don't know that she would want, like, how do you cope in real life after somebody says, well, you were dreaming and you killed your father and a bunch of other innocent people. So I don't know, for her sake, I think maybe
it's best that she stays.
If she stays at resting.
Yeah. Did she have, like, these psychological issues before the surgeons or dread doctors got a hold of her?
It did seem like she did.
Yeah,
just
she had
like
the night
Donovan
terrors.
Has the anger issue. It seems like they're going after these people who already
have issues.
Yeah.
And playing off of them.
Mm-hmm.
And amplifying them.
Interesting.
So then maybe they won't be suspicious that anything happened to them. They're thinking this is an amplified version of what they already have, like you said.
Well, I mean,
a prediction.
I'd be suspicious of anyone with a giant tail running around slicing people up, but... what it doesn't answer though is, why did they not touch Malia?
Right, the doctors.
Yeah, they came. They pushed her head up against a wall. They killed Tracy and they let her go.
Well, let's go ahead and ask our caller. Caller, what's your name? Where are you from?
Caller,
how are you guys doing today?
We're great.
Hi, caller. What's
Josh.
Your name? Josh from Florida. Josh is a huge fan of Teen Wolf. He calls in all the time.
Oh,
Josh,
yay.
Josh, do you have a question for Tom?
Hi, Tom. How are you doing?
Hey, Josh. How you doing?
I guess my question would be, for your character, you know, it seems like his daughter, you know, being a kitsune, he's always going to be around, you know, the kids in a way similar to Deaton. Will we see, like, more of his expertise or just more of him helping out the gang in certain situations?
Yeah, without giving too much away, there's obviously backstories to everyone on Team Wolf. That's why the writers are really good, and obviously Jeff is great at that. So, like I said, without giving too much away, let's just say some of the paraphernalia that maybe my daughter uses to fight with and things like that don't just come out of Walmart or
Facebook. Right, I was going to ask you if you were handed some of those things down to her.
I'm not going to say, maybe. But I'm just saying they don't come out of nowhere. That's all I'm saying. So, you know.
Maybe
cool
there's
weapons.
A story behind
either
the weapons.
Either he makes them or they were passed down.
That
maybe,
would be really
know.
Cool if he made the weapons.
Yes.
You just have this, like, underground basement of your house where you, like, construct all these weapons for Kira.
That would
great.
Be cool. Yes,
accessory
be.
Doctor. Maybe you're one of the doctors.
Oh, my goodness.
You learned it over centuries because you're immortal, and that's why you teach history, because you were there.
Wow.
Okay, all right.
Well, my brain is being, like, overloaded right now.
Josh, what did you think of that answer?
I thought it was pretty good.
Okay.
I really can't wait to see, you know, what happens and what goes on.
Absolutely.
And also, shout out to the new co-host. I just want to say you guys are doing an awesome job, too.
Aww. Thanks a lot.
A
I'm listening.
Back, you know?
Thank
really
you.
Thank you very much. Thanks for listening. It makes us feel good.
Thank you so much, Josh.
Thanks, Josh.
Bye, Josh. So let's get back to Ryan's question about Malia, why the doctors didn't hurt Malia. I mean, I think the doctors didn't hurt her because I don't think these doctors are bad guys. I think that they have a plan. It's not necessarily a good plan. In their head, it's probably justified, like most villains. Mm-hmm. However, I don't think they're out there just killing people. I think whatever it is, they're kind of focused, right? And mm-hmm. so they know the people they're targeting. They said, we only have so much time. So it's like, they're on a mission. They don't have time to get more enemies, mm-hmm. like Malia. If they were to attack her, obviously that would start a war. So it's like, they're kind of one-track mind. I'm sure we're going to find out what exactly that is. But that's why I think they don't have time.
That's an interesting yeah. point. So they have a plan. It's systematic. They're efficient. They teleport in, screw someone in the brain, and teleport out. And hopefully the cards are falling where they want them to.
Yeah.
So do you think it's going to be systematic like this throughout the whole season, or at one point is their plan going to come to fruition or fall apart?
I think it falling apart.
Yeah.
But one thing I was going to say is I think they're targeting the wrong people. Yes, they have issues, but with Donovan and with Tracy, they both had people very close to them. Donovan, I feel like he's very angry, and I feel like we're going to see him either attack Stilinski and Stiles,
definitely.
And that's mm-hmm. completely against the plan, mm-hmm. and they're going to have to terminate someone else. So I think they need to find someone that is a little bit more
level-headed.
Yeah, they need to get Theo.
That's a great prediction, because I think that he won't go after the correct target. Mm-hmm. I think that he will go after Stilinski and Stiles, because that's who he's really angry at.
Yeah.
So angry!
Or, as in the fashion of Team Wolf, he could just be the red herring.
Deep sigh.
Always reason.
Let's reflect on that. So, how does Malia heal first after they're all poisoned by the Kanema? What do you guys think about that? I mean, we don't know a lot about her mother, the Desert Wolf, but it seems like she's pretty powerful.
Yeah, and I think that that's why Malia's more powerful than she thinks she is. So I think mm-hmm. I think the fact that her mother is so powerful is that's being passed down to her, and once she's able to hone those skills, I mm-hmm. think we're going to see, like, a really, really strong Malia. So I think that's why she was able to get out of it. But faster than Scott, I was really shocked.
Yeah.
Like, was he trying?
I don't know. Maybe he was trying to let her heal first so she feels sort of empowered and really part of the group, because, you know, she is new still and outside the group. So it was nice for him to also sort of test her, because, as you remember, she wanted to kill Tracy mm-hmm. because she saw her as a threat from the beginning. And obviously that's something that she gets from her dad, Peter, and the Desert Wolf, mm-hmm. her mother, who are just killers. So the fact that Scott says, you know, to her, don't... He says, help Tracy. Let her know that she's dreaming. And, you know, that was kind of him saying, whatever you do, don't kill her. Like,
he's a great leader.
So I think, you know, maybe he was kind of letting her heal first to sort of test her in the pack and see if he can rely on her as well.
I could see that. But when there is a huge threat at hand, I think you need to heal. That's just my personal thing.
You can't send Scott in, you know, too early in the season. You know, you gotta let other people have their
Scott
turn.
Can handle himself. He can handle himself.
He can handle it. A lot of people were on the ground this episode, right? I mean, that whole gang was down there because were they paralyzed by
the Canima? By Canima. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Canima paralyzed everyone, just like the van driver was paralyzed. It wasn't a heart attack.
Yeah, I was so nervous about that part. I'm like, if that really would happen, you have a heart attack.
Not at all.
Surprised people haven't really reflected back on what Jackson's character was a cannibal. So I didn't see a lot of people like putting those two together.
The similarities between the two.
Maybe
we need to go back and watch some Teen Wolf episodes.
Yeah, because she turned into a Canima instead of a werewolf.
Yeah, exactly.
And it says that that's like dependent on your traits as a person. And if you guys remember Jackson, he was not really a good
guy. Great person.
So, but Tracy seems so sweet. So I don't get what they had in common, which is why they both turned into a Canima. No. And the fact that she could pass over that mountain ash,
which was supposed to
keep supernatural creatures out. So clearly, since she wasn't naturally turned into a supernatural creature, she was like this manufactured.
Immune.
Yeah, she's immune to it. Which is scary because, like Deaton said, they're changing all the rules.
Mm-hmm.
There's like a science now to the supernatural that you can, once you understand something,
you can change it.
Like nowadays, you take a look at what our science is capable of. We could change our genetic structure from a young age. I mean, it's scary what we can actually accomplish nowadays, and to throw that kind of control and that scary, you know, I mean, just the supernatural in general is already kind of limitless. So when you control, when you throw in someone who takes that whatever control might be left and totally turns it upside down, you get this. It'll be a fascinating season.
Pretty soon we're gonna have teen wolves everywhere.
Stop. I wanna go back to Malia. So, did you guys remember when she said something about when Styles showed her what her mom had done, that she had like killed all of these people, and the fact that she was like, "Oh, they deserved it." That kind of raised some red flags for me and made me feel like, what if? In, like, even though she's a part of the pack, she has the ability to go and make her own decisions, and I'm scared she might go to the wrong side. For some reason, that just stood out to me, like, okay, if Scott doesn't keep her in line as far as, like, this is what you should do, and this is good, this is the way we do it, I feel like she could take on those traits.
That's definitely a storyline I feel like they've brought up this season, and sort of in this episode, we get Scott sort of testing her, but the fact that she doesn't know her mother, and our animalistic instincts is to listen to our parents, so I feel like that's definitely going to be a clash once her mother comes into the picture against what Scott has taught her.
Yeah, I'm scared.
She's always been the wild card throughout the whole thing, right? Like, what can she? She's always been powerful too. So, yeah, definitely. By the way, waxing poetic for a second there, Ryan. I was really impressed. I was getting ready to talk about technology and
no
doubt.
Yeah,
and
let's
and
do it. I love to.
Really cool stuff. Yeah. So
no, thanks a lot. No, I can honestly talk about it all day because, like you said, Jeff, and the way they write this show, I mean, it comes up with so much depth to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the social commentary you can pull in, just the parallels between our lives, and that's why I really did like how the show's bringing in the parental figures so much stronger in this season. Can I ask, do you see any parallels between, I mean, you tell us a little bit about maybe your family life or growing up and how it kind of parallels with your relationship on the show?
Well, just coming from the show's perspective, Jefferson's really good about, you know, keeping things like really real and showing like there's the history and how I'm Korean, but then, you know, married Japanese, and that's why, you know, Kira's half Korean, half Japanese.
So that's the secret box. Mix.
Yeah, I guess so. But the dynamics is great because, like, I had actually tweeted out and I thanked Jeff because he's one of the few people who are actually showing, like, minorities and families and in really complex ways. Yes, I get it. We're a, you know, a fox werewolf family, and that's supernatural. But there's also parallels to, you know, and while a lot of different shows are, like, you know, kind of, I don't want to say whitewashing, like, creating, like, there's been this, I don't know, Hoopla over Aloha and all these other movies with casting mm-hmm. choices and stuff. But, you know, from the beginning, you know, Jeff and Teen Wolf and just been really good about this, you know, multicultural dynamic and stuff.
Keeping it real, too.
Yes, absolutely. So I'm still trying to diverge from, you know.
No, I love the parallels.
Yeah. It's great to have the insight, especially, you know, someone you know, so loved on the show. I think everyone loved your character. Yeah.
Let's go ahead and talk about Styles. Mm-hmm. So Styles is stressed, and his car keeps breaking down, which I'm worried really does make Lydia's sort of thought that, you know, when we saw her seeing that Styles was in that car wreck, like the fact that his Jeep keeps breaking down every episode, mm-hmm. that makes me feel like he really is going to get into a wreck.
He needs a new Jeep.
Yeah.
What is he doing?
Just duct taping.
Oh, my goodness.
You know,
that's his character.
That's his thing. He loves that thing.
Yeah. Okay. Speaking of cars, before we continue, we need to go ahead and thank our sponsors. Okay, so Mazda is one of our huge sponsors, and they have a very important question for us. I actually own a Mazda. Does driving matter to you? There's over 4 million miles in the U.S. on the road. For us to find out. There's a lot of ground to cover, a lot of highways, freeways, wrong ways, long ways. For all the listeners, this is our ad for our sponsors. They're all there waiting to be driven on. So do you take that left turn on Albuquerque or just keep going? This is great. Do you wake up early Sunday morning for a drive before the traffic does, or do you take a long, windy road for home for a change? If driving matters to you, just get out and drive. Why? Because driving matters, and that's Mazda. Okay, so let's go ahead.
Zoom.
Maybe Styles needs to get a Mazda. I think that's what we're getting at here. So, because he does love driving that thing around, but it's like it's not really helpful when you're trying to solve crime quickly.
Yeah, gotta have a reliable vehicle.
It speaks to his character, I think. You know, he's the kind of guy who likes to fix what's broken. You know. It's something that matters, that he cares about. He's not going to give up on it.
He's not going to just toss it away.
No, yeah. This isn't a disposable relationship.
Just like Malia, you know, mm-hmm. he's working really hard to fix her. I think that goes symbolically right along the same lines, you know. He's not going to let go of something and trade it in for something new. He's going to fix what he has. And yeah. I think that's really important.
Once you find something that you trust, I mean, that's a rare thing.
Love.
Especially in this world where everyone's turning into something that they're... that you don't see initially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
You make it work if you love it.
Yes.
A lot of metaphors.
There are. There are.
Make
people
it work,
turning
guys.
Into things on the show.
What do you think about Scott's catch first and decide later mentality? Because it seems to be his thing. And, you know, you got to have it. You got to have the leader be the one who's morally, you know, advanced. Mm-hmm. I guess, but his catch first, decide later technique didn't really work this time around. I mean,
it wasn't up to him, though. I mean, if it was up to him, he would have decided later. I just feel like he's never going to kill anyone on the show. I mean, that's his whole MO, is like he didn't have to kill to become an alpha. So if he didn't have to kill to get his powers, he's certainly not going to do it now. But to tell you the truth, before the end of Teen Wolf, whenever that is, many years or eons down the way,
please.
I would kind of like to see what happens if he does accidentally or is forced
to kill someone.
I mean, I like that he doesn't have to, but it's like, at the same time, what if all his friends are really in danger? I mean, is he going to do it? Mm. What do you guys think?
It's a good question.
It's probably something. I think it's a question to ask a parent. You know, because honestly, right now, you know, teen, single life. You know, maybe you don't. You'll never be pushed to that point. But I think a mama bear or a papa bear, you know, has a lot more of that killer instinct in them. What do you think?
I think he, as he grows, he's going to have to come to those decisions, and that's part of his maturing process, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The whole show has always been about his growth. And even though he's an alpha now, doesn't mean your responsibilities stop. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that you stop with making the hard decisions. And obviously, that'd be one of the hardest decisions.
Yeah.
I just hope that it doesn't get to that point, and that the most extreme thing that could happen is that Styles turns into a werewolf and he has to kill his friend because he's evil. Like, and that's so far from what could happen. So I hope he doesn't have to kill anyone.
Maybe it wouldn't even be killing, because they're already kind of not really alive anyway, right? These things.
Yeah.
Some of these things are kind of like.
I'm just saying.
I hope
he never is put in that situation. I really hope he isn't.
Well, fun fact for you guys at home, Mr. Stilinski is actually really married to Lydia's mom in real life.
Really?
No way.
Yeah. So maybe that's why they put them together on the show. That's chemistry is definitely there.
I think so, yeah.
I hope so.
Well, Lyndon's going to join us for a future episode, so we can ask him more about that.
Okay.
So let's go ahead and talk about the shapeshifter Theo. We only touched upon him. What do you guys think? Is he going to be helpful? Was that whole parental scene just something to kind of throw us off? Or do you guys think that he could possibly be the big bad here this season?
I think he's hiding some good. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I just think Theo's a bad person.
Yeah, it's obvious.
Bad wolf.
He's a bad boy.
Whenever we see him, you know, up close, with the good characters around, he's good, he's nice, you know, but as soon as you see him behind closed doors, you see these people who might not be the character's actual parents, but they're scared, and I think anyone who invokes fear like that is an antagonist. I think it's, fear is never something that will end up, you know, proving an admirable quality.
I think he's definitely on the bad side, and that tactic at the end was, I feel like, to distract Scott and Stiles and Deaton, and I really hope I hope that Stiles picked up on that, because he's really good as judging character. I hope he doesn't like let it go just because, oh, he comes in and he helps us, like, I think that was planned.
One last thing before we get into our interview with Tom. So Mason is new to the pack. He's sort of blown away and curious and taking it really well. But
intense.
Then also, we see Brett Talbot come back on the lacrosse team. Yeah, and that's
shirtless Brett.
Cody St. New. He's a good friend of ours, has joined us before in studio, so I'm sure he'll be back. But he's looking pretty good, Team Wolf. Do you guys sense maybe a relationship with him and any of the characters on the show?
I mean, we saw a kiss with someone in the next episode, so I don't know who that was with.
Mr. Ikemura. That was you guys look stunned for a second. Really? What?
I definitely think that, yes, he could be in a relationship, but
sorry,
but I'm scared that he's going to get with the wrong person.
Yeah.
And they could, you know, have him get on the bad side or use him.
One other thing is, they discovered that Tracy was buried in the hall and didn't fall in. I mean, do you guys think that Donovan was perhaps also buried in the hall and he crawled out of the other hall? Is that sort of how they wake up after the Dread Doctors? I'm not sure.
That's why I think Theo has something to do with this. He's always in the forest, he's by in these the holes, forest. And I think he definitely grabbed that necklace out of the hole when he realized what he did. I think he has something to do with it. I don't think he's working with the surgeons, but he is involved in some way. He's always at the scene. Always.
I think you're right. Well, let's go ahead and jump into our exclusive interview with Tom Choi.
The answer is 25. Whatever you ask me, the answer is 25.
So I want to know what specifically from your childhood would you say contributed to you wanting to be an actor?
Oh, that's a good question. It's funny because I actually grew up in Iowa. Des Moines, Iowa. So it was, I was one of the few minorities. And, you know, the first things I've ever done was like make funny faces or make people laugh. And then it really showed, like, you know, hey, I'm an individual. And then I got on stage and, you know, I really sort of, you know, I was able to finally stand out, you know, and embrace that rather than be afraid of being different. And so I think if there's a lesson in that, it's like no matter where you are, you can be yourself and not be afraid of, like, you know, just being different. So
absolutely.
And you said you've done it. That was beautiful.
That was a lesson to all. Yeah, that was a Mr. Yukimurism.
That's going to be like put on Pinterest quotes,
yes,
you know.
Exactly.
Hashtag Yukimurism.
Hashtag Yukimurism.
Yes. And you said that you were on stage a bit. You did theater?
I did. Like, it's funny because in high school I was watching this play and I thought the actors were really horrible. I could do that. And then later I found out it was a melodrama. And for those who don't know what a melodrama is, when you're supposed to act all big.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So maybe that was in the cards that I was supposed to see that one.
Yeah. So if not acting, what other career choices did you think about doing early in life?
Well, the funny thing is like I started out in college as a double major with engineering and drama. And then it took me like 11 hours to do 10 story problems in my math class, and I was like, okay, clearly my focus isn't there, and you know, you got to go 100%. with what you love, mm-hmm, you know, follow your passion. So
I think it's cool that you're a voice actor in Mortal Kombat.
Oh, thanks for doing your research. Yeah, yeah. For those who don't know, I play Liu Kang.
Yeah, that's Mortal awesome. Kombat,
that's badass. People are freaking out right now, I'm sure. Yeah.
So badass.
Now, can you talk about your acting process a little bit? Do you, when you found out you were going to play a teacher, or when you find out you're going to do a voice for Mortal Kombat, what do you do your research? Do you go shadow teachers? What is that process like?
Mm-hmm. I sat naked at a headstand in my trailer before I do the scene.
That's one
and
method.
Yes, exactly. no, I mean, you know, you're going to do yourself a disservice if you don't, you know, kind of fill your character. You mm-hmm. know, obviously, Jeff and the writers on Teen Wolf do a great job of making your characters complex and everything. And, you know, you sort of have to know what your role is, you know, on the show and stuff. And I know that, you know, you know, Mr. Yukimura, people love him because he's kind of this, you know, doofy kind of a, you know, lovable guy. Mm-hmm. You know, there's probably more complexities to that, as we've alluded to, and hopefully that stuff will be explored. But yeah, it's my job as the actor to sort of, you know, punctuate those moments and kind of see where you can, you know, highlight them. So.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, what's one of your best memories on set? I mean, it could just be while you guys are eating, be backstage. I mean, have you gotten pranked?
Overall, everybody's just, you know, it's a great experience to, you know, keep coming back and back season after season to be on the show. Well, getting your chair with your name on it was a great moment.
That's awesome.
It's like, well, I guess I'm not getting killed off anytime soon, yes. You know, and that was a great, you know, feeling, you know, mm-hmm. and I do appreciate that greatly, that they, you know, the crew and the cast respect you enough that, you know, they treated you as part of the family, it's, you know. So, and it's absolutely crazy to think that being on there for three seasons, you know, like, you're like the veteran, and then when you know, newcomers like Victoria Morales and, you know, Cody and Kelsey come on, you're like, hey, welcome. And you can say that, like, weird, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you have any upcoming projects?
I shot a film from Dean Devlin called Geostorm, starring Gerard Butler. That'll be out next summer, I believe.
Okay.
Very cool. Awesome.
That was really fun. Shot that in New Orleans, which is a great town to visit. I'm just pushing my short film called Lone Hunter. It just got accepted into a Hof Festival in Germany.
Oh, that's awesome. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
Can we, like, do you tweet that out, or where does it have a website? Where can we check that out?
The Lone Hunter movie is the short film, and you can, you know, read all about that and follow that. It'll be playing in a couple of weeks in Korea. The Busan Film Festival there, Fantasy Film Festival. So yeah, it's getting some good
traction. That's exciting. Yeah. Now, did you write that?
I acted in it.
Oh wow!
Nice.
My good friend and partner Pascal Leister is director.
Very cool.
And yeah, it's
so part you of the also project. Have a writing career.
I've done a lot of writing.
I noticed. I mean, it seems like you did do a lot of different writing when I looked at your IMDb.
Yeah, a lot of them are my personal projects, mm-hmm. Things like that. So, yeah, hopefully in the future I'll be able to expand that.
Awesome. And where can the fans keep in touch with you? Can you just say your Twitter?
Yeah, it's pretty easy. All across the board, Instagram, Twitter, Vine, everything is Tom T. Choi.
Awesome. Okay. Cool. Thank you so much.
I was just going to ask, if you were going to be bitten, what would you turn into?
I would turn into a piece of sushi, probably.
Oh my goodness, that's no, awesome. Tom.
Turn into yellowtail.
Tom, thank you so much for joining us in studio today. We are out of time, unfortunately,
but if we
didn't answer your questions, please tweet Tom, please tweet us, and we'll make sure Tom gets them. You guys can keep in touch with us at AfterBuzz TV. You can tweet me at Cinematic Escape. And guys, if you have any last predictions, go ahead and say those when you give your Twitter handles.
I don't want to do that because I have so many. But you guys, keep in touch with me at Tesnos on Twitter and Instagram, and use the hashtag #ABTVTeamWolf. I'm going to be looking at those.
You guys can catch me at Brittany Baldy, and I want to know if Tracy comes back because I think she's crazy and psycho. We need a little bit more of that on the show.
Yeah,
agreed.
Maybe she's going to team up with Theo or something.
She's dead.
Take over.
He's back. I mean, it could be like Pet Cemetery. They could put him back in those holes and they could rise back from the dead. Ryan, where can we find you?
Pet Cemetery with your teen wolves. All right. Guys, you can keep up with me at Ryan Malaty on all your favorite social media platforms. I'm looking so forward to this season. It keeps getting better and better, so thanks for coming in tonight, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks again.
Thank you so much, Tom. We'll see you later.
See you guys next week. Tuesday at 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Bye, guys.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.